Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am Heather Hansen O'Neill. I am your host. And our quote of the week is actually taken from Madeleine Albright's memoir, and you'll know why soon. And it is, the goal we seek and the good we hope for comes not as some final reward, but as the hidden companion to our quest. Great quote, right? And our special guest today is Gail Harris. She's amazing. And she's a certified ghostwriter specializing in women's memoirs and an IPNE Book Award finalist for the memoir Finding Zoe. That's beautiful. So she collaborates with women who have risen above life's challenges and are ready to share their journeys personally and professionally. Gail reveres the cathartic nature of storytelling for the author and for those who read her story. The healing is universal. Her company is Golden Ghostwriting. Gail is also the author of the self-help book, Your Heart Knows the Answer, How to Trust Yourself and Make the Choices That Are Right for You. Welcome, Gail. How are you today?
Oh, thank you. I'm fine. Really great to be here. And I appreciate the quote that you picked from
memoir.
That
was a good one, right? I love that one. So, you know, it's interesting. I love learning more about you, Gail, and finding how beautifully you've niched down. You know, like what other people out there were saying, oh, you got to niche down more, you got to niche down more, right? But you specifically are a women's memoirist. Is that how you say it? Memoirist?
Memoirist, yes.
Oh, okay. And that's like super clear. So tell me, how did you decide to go there?
Sure. You know, my own spiritual healing has been so important to me in my life. I could probably link it back to a trauma that I had when I was 14, when my parents got divorced. It just really devastated me because I was really close with my dad. But even before that, like, I always just knew that there was this person inside of me that was different than the voices that was happening in my head. I would do this thing. I shared this recently. When I was like between 7 and 11, every Halloween, I would come home from trick-or-treating. I don't know why Halloween had happened, but I would stand in front of the mirror and I would look at myself and see how I changed from the year before. Like, oh, I'm missing a tooth. Oh, crap. I have more freckles. Oh, my hair is longer. But I always knew that the person, that even though my physicality changed, that the person inside looking was still the same. It's a very profound thing. It's very deep. And I didn't really understand what was happening at that time. But what I'm trying to say is that it's just that quest to know who I really was that was beyond the, I mean, for me, it's the human self. Like, as I've, you know, like grown through my challenges, I truly believe, and experientially, I experience it more and more that, you know, it's that saying, like, we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes. Yes.
And I experience that more and more. But even back when I was a young girl, I always kind of known it. And so my journey to connect with that real part of me was always there. And then there was the challenges, you know, that's kind of grist for the mill. I mean, when life goes all hunky-dory, there's no impetus to have to face anything or work hard, you know? And so, but that healing was always there for me. And in terms of memoir, and that, so that part of me that I always recognize, that divine self, for if you want to call that, I really believe that that, if you say, if you want to just use the word consciousness, that's how we're all connected. Even though our specific lives are different, we're all here for the same thing. We want to grow, we want to heal. I think we want to like discover who we are and learn how to really love ourselves. So that's what I've been doing. And memoir, it's like what you read, like with my bio, because that's my branding, but it is who I am, that storytelling and memoir, the healing nature of it. It's universal. It really is. I mean, whether I'm writing somebody's memoir, I read them all the time. Like even just reading a memoir, I learned so much about myself because like I said, we all want the same thing. And so it kind of was a natural link. I mean, I took
It makes
steps to
so
get
much
there.
sense. It really does, Gail. And I love hearing the process of how you got to where you are. And I imagine that there's no one better to be able to pull out a woman's unique brilliance and perspective than somebody who is well aware of her own journey.
That's it. That's the
Right?
whole thing. It's like a,
Yeah.
I feel so blessed that I found that for myself, that my profession is truly my calling, it just, it's great.
We're speaking my language. You're talking about consciousness, you're talking about calling. I'm like, okay, this is good. This is gonna be good. So you got so how do you just decide to do this? Like, was there a mentor? Like, how did it work?
Yeah, well, I've always been a writer. That's just something I'm good with words. I'm actually very creative. I would say that God has given me a gift that I'm extremely creative. I don't know if you could see my toe shoes in the back there.
Yes,
Oh,
love
yes,
that.
right. Both dancers.
That's
Yes, to the
right.
point, right. I shared this with you already that I could never make it as a professional dancer, but that connection there is it is really there. But so I made that, I found a creative endeavor that I felt that I could earn a living doing. So I actually started out as an advertising copywriter. I grew up in New York City. So I started out on Madison Avenue, all the big wig agencies, and found out very quickly that wasn't for me. But I will share, I love sharing this story that I started at a very big ad agency. I was doing freelance copywriting for a smaller direct mail firm, and then they let me go. And I realized that, like, okay, I had to kind of like suck it up and become a secretary so that I could advance, in the ad world kind of thing. So that's what I did. And I was so fortunate. I had a creative director that she saw in me my gifts. And so she gave me a chance to write an ad. It was for Avon, was the account that we worked on. It was Avon Ultrawear.
No color.
Sorry. And I won an Andy Award for
Oh,
writing
wow.
this ad when I was still a secretary.
That's
That's what
awesome.
got me promoted to a copywriter. So I just love sharing that story. But I found out really quickly that environment, it just was so, all the cutthroat. I mean, I couldn't
When
survive
you were
there.
telling me about like your spiritual journey, and then you mentioned about advertising copy, I'm like, oh, that must have been,
Yeah, it
yeah,
wasn't
a little
me. I
challenging.
mean, I mean, I felt bad about myself when I got laid off all those times. It all kind of added up. But anyway, I switched over to the corporate side. And so I worked for McGraw Hill in their creative services department as a copywriter. And that was much better because I got to do really, really creative stuff, but I didn't have all these levels, all the layers, all the egos, and all that sort of stuff. But I was getting more into my spirituality at that time. That it sort of became conscious to me when right around that time, my early 30s, where like when I gave the example earlier, I didn't know what it was all about that I was who is this person inside me that's more than my body, blah, blah, blah. But that's when I started getting into yoga and meditation. So that was like a my conscious, it became a conscious spiritual path. And I actually I had no intention ever of writing a book. It was not like I was one of these people where it's like, I have that book in me. It was like I wouldn't even have thought of it. But anyway, I got more into yoga and meditation, and I got McGraw-Hill. They laid me off, and I went and I moved into a yoga ashram. It's called Kripalu Center, Kripalu Yoga Center. And yeah, it was a really great experience for me. I was there for about 2 years. And when I came out, and then I met my husband, all of a sudden I realized that I had this book in me that I never knew I had, but I couldn't not write it. And it was a self-help book. And I really, that saying, we teach what we need to learn, that was totally what was happening. It was it's called Your Heart Knows the Answer, How to Trust Yourself and make the choices that are right for you. And it was about, I was learning more how to connect in with my own inner voice or intuition and live according to it. And that's how, so that was the first book that came out. But when that book came out, and I was very fortunate, I found a literary agent and she found me a publisher. I was on my way, but it was for women. I mean, men have to learn this. We all do. I mean, look what's happening in the world these days. We're all butting heads with our egos, and I'm right and I'm right. You know, it's that's another whole thing. But when that book came out and I wrote specifically for women, that was the link. You know, I just felt like I'm for women and I have to help women tell their stories. And so that's the
That
first
makes
memoir
so
that I
much
wrote.
sense. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's always that thing. There's always the connection points, right? And that's part of what I love to do is I love to help draw out people's connection points so that we can share it with the audience and have them start to think about what that might help might apply in their world, right? Those
Right. Well, that's
points.
what memoir is. That's what I
Yes.
do with my
Yeah.
authors, you know.
That's amazing. Now, you tell me about the I think it's IPNE. Is that now was that Finding Zoe?
Yeah, it's
Is that for that
Independent
one?
Publishers of New England.
Okay, so how was that? Like, was that like a really cool process? Like, what do you have to do for that?
Yeah, I mean, that was a nice recognition to become a book award finalist. So the first memoir that I wrote was this a book called Finding Zoe, and I was drawn to work with this author. Her name is Brandi Rarus, because she wanted to tell the story. She had adopted her daughter Zoe. She wanted to tell the story of why Zoe's birth mother chose to place her baby for adoption rather than parent. Brandy didn't even want to be in the book at all. And I was drawn to that because I'm an adoptive mother as well. So I was like, oh, I got to get this project. You know, I got to get this project. So she hired me. And this was one of these, this was very unusual, I have to say, but it was one of these times where the story that you start out with ends up being completely different. When Brandy and I started working together, I mean, the minute she started talking, I just saw so much of a bigger story in there, which was her memoir. She's actually deaf. And I didn't even know this when we were going back and forth via email, but it turned out that she became deaf at age 5 when she contracted spinal meningitis, and she struggled all through, you know, her teens and in school. Like, she denied her deafness because she already had language, because she didn't become deaf until she was 5, and she was a great lip reader. So she was only having the hearing friends and stuff. And then when the struggle became really great, she started to embrace who she was as a deaf woman, and she went on to become Miss Deaf America in 1988, which was the time of the Deaf Revolution in the United States. I didn't know anything about this, but I'll just say really quickly. So, 1988, Gallaudet University, which is the only university for deaf people, had a protest. It's called the Gallaudet Uprising, and the students shut down the school in protest for a deaf president. I mean, they just, for 125 years, they just kept on having hearing people. It was a big deal. It was on the 6 o'clock news for the entire week, and the university did get their deaf president, and it was really the impetus for the ADA be passing, the Americans for Disabilities Act. Well, it turned out that Brandy's husband, Tim, led the Gallaudet Uprising. So there was this whole backdrop of her finding her own self-worth and stepping into her power, with the backdrop of growing up deaf in America. And then the other thing was so amazing was she had three daughters, three sons, but she had always yearned for a daughter. She was like, if I don't have a daughter, I'm not gonna fulfill my life. And so that was, there were like three levels to the story. How she and Brandy found each other, I won't go into any of the details, but it was a very complex story. And it was wonderful to be recognized for writing it. It was
It
a
sounds
fabulous
amazing.
experience.
It sounds amazing. And listeners, if you're out there thinking, gosh, I love this. I want to get this book. We'll put a link into the show notes if you want to check out the book. It sounds incredible. So you alluded to it, but you also, okay, with the name of a show called From Fear to Fire, I always have to ask my guests about something that you've overcome, whether it's a fear or a challenge. You alluded to something earlier. You could pick that, you can pick this, you can pick whatever, something with business, personal, whatever works for you. What is something that you overcame that helped you become who you are today, that you learned a lesson from?
So after Finding Zoe came out, my son, who is a maybe like 12, 13 at the time, he started going through some challenges, and I had to step away from my business for a couple of years. And it was tough, it was challenging. I felt like I should be able to do it all, like I should be able to manage what was happening in the household. My husband was working full time. We had made the decision that this made the most sense, that I would focus on the home and my son, our son. And it was tough though. I felt I judged myself that I should be able to do it all. And I think it also goes back to like that, and I mentioned about my parents' divorce and an initial trauma that I had. My dad and I were very close, and when he left, it was terrible. He was having an affair with my mother's best friend, and she was devastated. And anyway, I took it personally, like kids do that sometimes. And I felt that if I was trying to get my father to change his mind, like as a kid, 14, but that didn't work. And so it was a traumatic experience for me. And that day, when I couldn't get him to change his mind, I made this decision. It wasn't conscious. I mean, I was 14, but I was devastated. It was like the first, I just got my period the day before for the first time, and then he left. And boy, therapists have had a good one, a good one with that.
I bet they have a field day without.
But it was such a shock. And I remember it all happened on the bed. I called the incident back to the bed when I write about it, because I was there with my two brothers, and we found out exactly what was going on. And when I couldn't get him to change his mind, I decided that day that, bad stuff happens in life, but I'll be damned if I'm ever going to let anything sideswipe me like this one did, like out of the blue. And that day, I became a warrior. Like, because if you worry, then you could be ready at least when the bad thing happened. You know, that's what I thought. And also, I don't know if you've ever heard of the term catastrophizing. It's, you know, like
Yeah, I have.
I became like a quintessential catastrophizer where I just like, it was like the next, I always thought, okay, the worst is going to happen. I mean, it's not a good position to take, you know, because it all comes down to choice. But, you know, bringing it back to those feelings that were coming up in me many, many, many years, I mean, tons of years later, about blaming myself, because I blamed myself. It was really my spirituality again, and to like how I've learned to connect into who I really am, letting feelings come up without pushing them away or acting on them. And, you know, I kind of worked it through, and that's when I realized that you know, I need to go get certified as a ghostwriter, because I had been away from the business, you know, out of it for a year or two. And publishing was just completely turning in on itself with self-publishing and all this sort of stuff. So that's one example of following that inner voice, you know, kind of following the breadcrumbs in a way. It's the challenges and the adversity. That's the opportunities that we have to grow.
It's so true. I really believe that. I mean, if everything was, I think I'm going to quote you, hunky dory. If everything was hunky dory all the time, we'd never change. Right? And
Exactly,
we'd never
exactly.
become who we're supposed to be.
Exactly. And I've always known it, you know, like it's so true.
You know, when you tell the story of the Halloween story, you know, I was just thinking as you were saying it, like how precocious and intuitive and beautiful was that at that young age to be so aware. Not necessarily knowing at all, but to be so aware to like notice these things. I think so often in life now more than ever, I think we just go about our days and stop noticing
You
things.
know, I know that's another
You
whole
know,
discussion.
and I love that you did that and that you continue to do that and that you help other women do that. I think that's
Yeah.
part of what, you know, when you're, I imagine when you're having these conversations with these authors, you're probably asking them things that they never thought of, right? And to get some things out of them. Is that part of the process?
Oh, totally. I mean, I could share very generally. I'm working with an author right now, and serendipitously, it's so amazing how we've had certain, you know, certain parallels in our lives. And she's very self-aware. I mean, but you know, and so she, excuse me, she knew she was ready to share her story, and we're very aligned spiritually. So it's a perfect match. We're soul sisters. I mean, it's like at this point, I stopped being surprised, because it's like that's how the universe works. But, you know, so she's aware of certain things. But because when a person, you know, you're so involved in your whole life, it is helpful to have somebody that has that distance to step in, you know. And I pointed out a couple of things to her just about her own family and her husband's family that was actually, she knew it. And she had expressed it to other people, and nobody listened to her. And when I just said to her, oh my God, this is like, you know, she really appreciated that. You
I
could just
bet.
have a little distance. It
And so
helps. It
there's the
helps.
validation that I'm hearing
Right.
too, right?
Yeah, you know, speaking of validation, this is really interesting. But I've had different spiritual teachers along the way, and I don't know if you've ever heard of Michael Singer. Oh, yes, you do, because I sent you the tape. But I don't know if I shared this with you already, but I work very closely with him, not one-on-one, but I listen to his tapes and everything all the time. And there was one tape, one talk, he gives three talks a week, and there was this one talk, and he actually said, he said, when you were younger and you looked in the mirror, when you saw what you were seeing, like, and then you looked 10 years later, and then you would look 10 years later, but like Did you look the same? No, but who was looking? And
Oh, who was
it's like
looking?
the validation,
Yes.
not that I even needed it really at this point, because I'm pretty firm, but the fact that he said that was so wonderful, almost like just joyful almost, that it's like I keep getting these, there's something going on up there, you know, that there is, I believe, a divine order. Yes, I mean, horrible things happened, stuff that our minds couldn't comprehend ever. And we're all going to die. You know what I mean? It's not like you can't prevent yourself from dying, but what about living the most meaningful, fulfilling, joy-filled life? I mean, he always says it, you know, it's like, say like a loved one dies. It's not that you don't feel the grief, but feel it to the depths of your being, and then you can eventually let it go and then connect again with that, the joy that we have within. And it all rings true to me. I'd be dead if I didn't have my spiritual life, I'll tell you. But that's interesting because Jesus says die to be reborn. And in a way, that's what points to it, you know, like let dying from our ego, letting go of our ego. So it's a lifetime journey.
Oh, it certainly is. And my goodness, Gail, we could do a whole other show on the spiritual side of it, and it would take a couple of hours. But you know, I feel like other people listening are like I am right now. Let me know more. Tell me more. Tell me more, right? So this is a good opportunity. How do you like people to reach out to you? Like, we'll put a link to your website, but if there's anything that you'd like to let people know about or encourage them to do, or where to find your books, let them know now.
Sure. I'm only on LinkedIn. That's the only platform because that works for me, and I don't want to be diffusing my energy to all
Love
different. My
that.
women are on LinkedIn. I mean, how did we find each other, right? I mean,
LinkedIn.
yeah, so LinkedIn and my website really are the best ways. I'm not looking for a full ghostwriting manuscript project right now. I really only take on one or two at a time because when you're writing somebody's story, like you have to embody them, you know. I mean, I know other ghostwriters that take on several projects at one time, but that doesn't work for me. I just have to be like almost become that person. So, but I do have room for coaching. I don't even like to use that word, but mentoring, consulting, if people are interested in writing their own memoir and are learn interested in being mentored through it, or if they're stuck at a certain point, I definitely have availability for that.
Awesome. Okay, so we'll put both of those links into the show notes along with the Finding Zoe one. And it's time. Is it crazy how fast this went? So it's time for those final parting words of wisdom already. What do you have for us, Gail?
Words of wisdom. Okay, I'll say this, but I'm really saying it to myself also that the challenges are really here for us to face the feelings that are coming up. And then we can let them go. And then we are that step closer to being one with who we really are.
I love that. That step closer to being one with who we really are. That's awesome. Gail, you've been amazing. And like I said, I want to continue this conversation. So you know you and I will. And the rest of you are going to have to wait until the next episode. But for now, check out Gail. And if you love the show, share it with a friend. Leave us a testimonial. We love those and appreciate those as well. Thank you all so much. And thank you for bringing it today, Gail.
Oh, you're so welcome.